do beg an interest in your prayers tonight as I stand before you. I know I need the Lord's blessing to be able to speak anything of benefit to the Lord's people. And more importantly than anything, honoring to God. That's the most important thing, that we honor and praise the Lord tonight. That's why we met together. Brethren, we have met to worship and to adore the Lord our God. And I pray that we'll be able to do that together, having song, and I'm thankful for the sweet prayer, that he would just bless us with liberty to preach. I'd like to read in your hearing 3 John tonight. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. I certainly encourage you to do that. There's only one chapter in 3 John. I've often heard brethren, when they heard somebody bring something that they didn't believe was in the Bible and being taught, they said, I've often heard folks say, well, they must have got out of the second chapter of 3 John, because there is no second chapter of 3 John. 3 John only has one chapter. And certainly tonight we desire to preach from God's Word. We believe the Bible is the Bible, and we want to preach from His Word as the Bible. We get in trouble if we try to pull anything into our belief or into what we're holding to be the truth that's not found in the pages of God's Word. And everything we believe to be the truth needs to be backed up by God's Word, and we certainly want tonight to rightly divide the word of truth. We begin reading right at verse 1. It says, they all do unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record. And ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Tonight, if I have any thoughts on my mind, it's surrounding the friendships and the fellowship that we have as the Lord's children, based on our communion and our fellowship and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a difference that makes in your life. How empty a life is that is without any of the grace of God or with the blessings of God. And of course, all men have some part in the grace of God, even in the natural things. If your eyes work tonight, it's only by God's grace you have them. And if your physical ears work tonight, it's by God's grace they work. If you have the sun that shined on you today and the blessings of the day and food on your table and clothes on your back and a home to live in or any measure of health whatsoever, everything that's in this world is not because men deserve them or has earned them or merited them. And all of mankind in that natural way are beneficiaries of the grace of God. The grace of God hath appeared really to all men in some ways. But in particular to God's little children, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared. And that's a whole different thing other than just the natural blessings that we receive from the Lord, which are by His grace. But to have the spiritual blessings that come from Almighty God What a difference that makes completely in your life. And the more that we understand that, the more that we recognize that, the more we live walking in that grace and walking in that fellowship we have from the Lord, the more peace and rest and joy that we're certain to have, and the more meaning our life will have as we live here in this world. I think of that scripture that I've tried to speak from lately that's found over in 1 Peter chapter 1. It seems like every time I speak anymore, I end up somewhere in 1 Peter or 2 Peter. But it's the 24th verse of 1 Peter chapter 1. And it really sums up all mankind just based on who He is and what we are, who I am, who you are without the Lord. And that is not a very pretty picture. It says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." And really, that's what man is. And if you think about your life from the time you were born until the time you are at right now, it's just really gone by pretty quickly for me anyway. It just, you know, I had Leah being 24 all day, or at least part of the day today when she's actually 23. And it just seemed like, you know, 23 years, 24 years, a blink of the eye just passed so quickly. I can remember at her birth, being there and witnessing that amazing thing, that amazing occurrence of life, and seeing the life that was, you know, the life that's been there all along from conception, but I got to witness it and see it when she was delivered here into this world, and then to see her just as a little baby, and you could hold her in your hand, and you thought, you know, you got all the time in the world. You blink your eyes, and now it's not 24, it's 23 years has passed. And how quickly all that happened, and all the things that have happened in between that time and this time. You know, and you go back even before that, and you know, all the ways from when you were a child, all the things you can remember, and all the things in the past. And you sum all that up, and I'll tell you, if the Lord isn't in that, and if the Lord isn't shined His face on you, if you haven't felt the touch of Him in your life, if you've had no communion with Him, no communion with the Holy Spirit, no evidence in your life that you've been, by the grace of God, allowed to see that God is, and that He's made the heavens and the earth, and that you're not just here by accident, a man at his very best. I don't care what you've had. You could have lived in the best home. You could have been born among the richest parents. You could have had your life filled with all the natural things. You could have had no problems with your health. You could have had all the money that the world affords. You could have everything that the world gives you. All you still would have is just an empty, vain show. Solomon said it this way, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity," saith the preacher. And listen, Solomon knew about it. Because Solomon had riches above any man having riches. I mean, the wealth of Solomon was, the queen of the south came and saw the wealth of Solomon, said to half had not been told about this man Solomon. And saw the wisdom of Solomon. And Solomon sought after all the wisdom and the knowledge of this earth. You know, some people get wrapped up in trying to learn something. Want to hear something new. Want to learn something they didn't know before. And there's nothing wrong with learning those things and growing in that way. I'm not downing education or any of that. But I'm telling you, education without the Lord is a sad thing. And really, I can, in my efforts, give you the Lord tonight. He's not mine. He's not mine to offer to you. He's not mine that I can give to you. But I'm telling you, if you've been blessed tonight to know the Lord, if He has come to you somewhere in your life and wakened you and allowed you to be able to know that He is and to be able to believe in Him and trust in Him and lean upon Him, you are a blessed character tonight. Because otherwise, all you would have is that which flesh affords, and that's just what? It blooms for a while. You remember when it bloomed and you felt like, boy, I'm gonna be strong all the time. I mean, I'm going to be able to do this, be able to do that. I'm going to be able to handle whatever comes. You know, like that prodigal son, just give me what's coming to me. I'm ready to go out and take my fill in this world and make my mark and make my place and all those dreams. Listen, without the Lord, they don't mean a thing. But with the Lord, What a difference. And that's really what I want. I hope and pray the Lord will bless us to think about, even if it's just for a few minutes. I'm thinking about Brother Gaius here. A well-beloved Gaius. You know what made Gaius special? It wasn't because he was born in a particular home or a particular family or because he had a particular name or any of that. It wasn't anything about his name, Gaius, that made him something special. It was because he was well-beloved. And he was well-beloved, I believe, by John, the Apostle John. But I believe he was well-beloved by the brethren. But more important than any of that, I believe God in covenant, even before the very foundation of the world, had a love for Gaius. And that love is his foreknowledge, and he foreknew him, and he predestinated him, because he foreknew him, to be conformed to the image of his Son, and moreover, whom he did predestinate, he called, and he quickened him, and he made him alive, and he worked in him the Spirit of Almighty God, where he was born of the Spirit, and in that work of the Spirit, all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all the fruit that is mentioned there in Galatians. And that made his life rich, and it made his fellowship special, and it made his communion with the brethren special. It made his kinship and his fellowship so much special in the sight of Brother John, that you and I tonight read from one book of the Bible, of 66 books. We got one book here that is addressed to Gaius. And I just kind of got overwhelmed by thinking about that. Now, who was Gaius? I'm telling you, without the Lord, Gaius wasn't anything. Just like you and I tonight can all say this, can't we? Without the Lord, what am I? I'm just like old Jacob, thou worm. I'm just a worm. I'm just less than nothing. And the world says, oh, you shouldn't tell people they're nothing. Listen, by the grace of God, tonight I hope you and I can rejoice in this understanding that without the Lord, we have no hope, we have no help, we have no light, we have no strength. We are dead in trespasses and in sins, and would have left there, been there, remained there, and all we would have been as flesh is just grow up for a little while, and like the flower of the field and the grass of the field, it soon withereth away. The Old Testament says the wind bloweth on it. That means that we get hit with the things of life, and the next thing you know, we're gone. We're gone. And even worse than that, the wages being of sin, and we all have, who sinned? Which of us have sinned? Tonight we believe that all of us have sinned. Not just you, not just your family, but me and my family and all of us. And if we were left to our own, not only would we just exist and go out of existence, but we would be under the judgment of God, because you see, we were made in the very image of God, and in Adam we didn't get well, we died, and we fell into a state where the judgment of God righteously, and God being a righteous judge, His judgment would have had to come upon us, and that would have been removed from Him forever in a place of punishment because of what we deserve. You know, and a lot of people say, well, that's a hard doctrine. I believe tonight you believe that. Do you believe that? I hope you believe that. Because I'm telling you, being a redeemer won't mean much to you if you don't know how much you need redeeming. A savior doesn't mean much to you if you don't know what the punishment and the wage of sin is. And the wage of sin is death. And you won't understand or appreciate the gift until you really see the state you're in. Until we see how poor we are, we don't really appreciate how rich we become in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, until you see how much darkness you were. Not just in the dark. You know, sometimes you say, I'm in the dark. The Bible doesn't say you're just in the dark. It says, ye who were sometimes darkness, now are ye light in the Lord. But if the Lord hadn't made us light in Him, we would have remained darkness. And 10,000 people lined up to help us could not help us. The only one who could help us loved us. And He loved us enough. He loved Gaius enough that Gaius was well beloved. Listen, he wasn't just beloved. He was well beloved. And he was beloved by the brethren. And he was beloved by John. But more importantly than all of that, he was loved of the Lord. Tonight, I believe our fellowship, our kinship, our friendship is because of the Savior. That's what I believe. And that makes it special. Listen, if it was just you and me being good buddies in this world, well, we'd be good buddies as long as being a good buddy benefited one of us, but as soon as that stopped, we'd stop being buddies, and you'd cease to be my buddy. And that's a lot of the way the friendship of this world is. You'll see, when you have good times, you have a lot of friends. It's like when somebody, you know, you hear about somebody on the television or something, they'll win a lottery or they'll get this grand prize, and next thing you know, they say they have friends and family coming out of the woodwork. Of all the people, oh, my good friend, my good buddy, you know. And as long as the money or whatever benefit is there, the friends and the family stay. But I'm telling you, I've met friends in this world that have been my friends in the most difficult of times. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I'm telling you, the number one friend that you and I have, what a friend we have in Him, and that's Jesus. And Jesus, though, has given us also friends. Listen, we have friends in this world. We have kin in this world. We have brothers and sisters in this world. I've had mothers in Israel, so to speak. Fathers in Israel. Fathers in the ministry. Brethren who've helped me. Brethren who've instructed me. Who've loved me enough to correct me. And who've helped me along life's way. When they ought to give up on me, they didn't. And they kept praying for me. And when I was in trouble, they prayed for me. And when I was sick, they prayed for me. And when we were in trouble, when we were happy, we were happy together. And if one of us hurting, the other is hurting. And it's not just a superficial fly-by-night acquaintance in this world. Your life is full of those. Folks that have known you all their life but really don't know you at all. Isn't that true? They know your name. They know who you are. But they don't know you. Brethren, when you get among God's little children, because of the kinship we have and the fellowship we have in Christ, you have friends who know you. And one thing they know about you, that there isn't any good in you at all unless the Lord works it in there. And that just wipes out a whole lot of superficiality right off. You know, when we start thinking somebody is something because they're who they are, listen, we know what we are by nature. And it's not a pretty picture. The Bible tells us, God's Word tells us, the truth tells us. Oh, you have a fellowship in the truth. You have if your family is based in the truth, if your acquaintance with your wife or your husband's based in the truth, you won't have any misguided thoughts and opinions about what are unrealistic expectations. Listen, I'll tell you what. Without the Lord, I'm going to mess up. And without the Lord, you're going to mess up. And that's what we are without Him. But with Him, remember this. Without Him, we can't do anything. But with Him, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And that means I need Him. That's why we're here tonight, to learn more about needing Him. I want to remind you tonight you need Him. You're going to need Him. You're going to need Him to be a daddy. You're going to need Him to be a mama. You're going to need Him to be a grandmama. You're going to need Him to be a parent. You're going to need Him to be a child. You're going to need Him to be a student. You're going to need Him wherever you go and whatever you do in your life. I don't know how many years you're going to have. But in this world, naturally speaking, it's just a puff of smoke. It's here for a while and it soon vanishes away. But in the Lord, one day in His courts better than 1,000. And when you can have fellowship with Him and fellowship day by day in your life with Him, every day becomes not just putting in time, but a true living, a life abundant in Christ. And it gives you peace and joy and rest in your home. And otherwise, you can build it on anything else. And it might glitter for a little while, but if you build it on a faulty foundation, and there it go with my chimney again, it'll come down. It'll fall. It won't stand. You have to have a foundation. And you must build your life upon a foundation. And that foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the rock. And when you build it upon His truth and His Word and the teachings of His Word and you apply them in your life, there'll be many who say, you're foolish to live like that. You're walking too straight a line. And it is a straight and a narrow path. But let me tell you, it's the pathway of peace and the pathway of joy and the pathway of rest. And sometimes it can bring what seems to be in some people's eyes, you know, it doesn't seem to be the most, you might have to give up some things. Let me say it this way. You absolutely will have to give up some things. Number one, you have to deny your old self. Y'all ever have any trouble denying self? That's one of the things. If any man's going to follow me, he must, what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Denying old self. What I want to do, what I think. I have to recognize it's not about me. It's about Him. And when we do that, what we lose in that, boy, you gain so much more in following the Lord. Here, this elder unto the east, John was the apostle John, wrote as an elder, as a minister of the gospel, and I believe an aged brother. Listen, he wrote this at a time in his life where he had seen many years and had walked with the Lord and was an apostle. But he wrote as an elder, as a minister of the gospel, unto the well-beloved Gaius. He said, whom I love in the truth. Now, isn't that where our fellowship is tonight? And what is the truth? The truth is that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. It is that He came not to try to do it, to hope to do it if you'll let Him, but He came to do that which the Father had sent Him to do, and that was to give eternal life to as many as He had given Him in covenant. Who were those that He gave to Him in covenant? They were those that He loved. Why did He love them? Because He saw fit to love them. He chose to love them. His love is eternal and He changes not. His love was unconditional. And He won't. You can't lose out on His love because you didn't do anything to gain His love. His love is everlasting. His love is so real, He'll chasten you because He loves you. And He loves everyone whom He loves, He'll chasten and correct. But there's nothing that can separate you as a little child of God from the love of God. Isn't that good? That there's nothing that can separate you? Oh, you oughtn't try to pull away, but listen, you'll never pull away from Him who loves you. He loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son into this world, who gave His life freely. The Father loved you in sending the Son. The Son loved you in coming. And what He did in this world is unbelievable. It's believable, but you have to have the grace of Almighty God to understand how Almighty God could take upon Himself a body of flesh. God made manifest in the flesh. That's who Jesus was. That's the truth we have fellowship in. Not just some idea that, well, there's some divine essence out there somewhere that we all are trying to get back to or something like that. No, there was a God, a Jehovah God, by Him, and beside Him there's no other God. And then that God was manifest in three persons, and the Son of God came. The fullness of the Godhead dwelled in Him bodily, and we saw Him. He lived among us, and He walked among us. And He took upon Himself a body of flesh, and being made like unto man, He was man, all except there was no sin in Him. Aren't you glad there was no sin in Him? Y'all don't believe He sinned, do you? I don't. I don't believe He had the thought of sin, the taint of sin upon Him. If He had of, He would have never been able to come out victorious over the grave. He went to the cross and paid a sin debt. And the wrath of God was poured out on His own Son. What you and I deserved in an eternity of punishment and wrath was poured out on His own Son. And Jesus bore it there at Calvary in that room instead. And you know what drove Him there? Love drew Him there. And for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross and despised the shame. That's why you and I are to live tonight looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He accomplished what the Father sent Him to do. We believe He did it too. He didn't try to do it. Didn't hope to do it. Didn't say, I've done all I can and now it's up to you. He's not out begging people just to come. He's working in them, a will in them. If you love the Lord tonight, I'm telling you, by the Scripture, you love Him because He first loved you. If you've called out to the Lord, and I pray that you have. If you from your heart have cried out to the Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, I need Thee. It's because He called down to you and awakened your dead heart and your dead mind and your dead soul and caused you to have a desire to call upon Him. And He's the one also who hears the cry of every one of His children. And He redeemed us. Paid that sin debt. Listen, you have the work of the Holy Spirit. We have a work of a triune God. God the Father sent the Son. The Son came willingly and died on the tree of the cross, accomplishing the very will of the Father. And then in time, the Holy Spirit comes and quickens those who are dead in sins and gives us life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we experience the love of God. The Lord loved you a long time before you experienced, or maybe for some of us, maybe some of you real early in your life, but it really was still a long time ago because it was before. When did He love us? Did He love us when we started loving Him? And that had been the case, none of us would have ever loved Him. He loved us before the very foundation of the world. Y'all believe that? That's what the Bible teaches. Oh, if you believe that, we have some fellowship in the truth, don't we? I have a special love in my heart. I love God's people, but I really love to be among those who, as you see, that's where my comfort, that's my comfort zone. It's my joy to be among God's people who love the Lord and understand the truth of what He did for them, what He paid for them. Listen, our salvation isn't in part of what I did and what you did. It's in what He did. I don't have any place to brag. You don't have any place to brag. I have no place to stand up here and brag on any man, much less myself. Diotrephes had a problem because he wanted the preeminence, which means he wanted somebody to think something about him. He wanted to be the boss. He wanted to be the head. He wanted to be the one who's in control. He had too much stuff of himself in there. And so he was a hindrance to the church. But Brother Gaius, he understood it was all by grace and through the grace of Almighty God, and he wanted to help God's little children in any way he could help them. And the reason he wanted to do it was because the Lord had been so good to him. Is that why we're here tonight? I hope that's why you're here. That's why I want to help. That's why I love preaching and sharing. The Lord's been so good to me. I want to share this good news with everybody who'll listen. And I want them to believe it. I can't make them believe it. I can't cause them to believe it. I can't give them faith to believe it. But wherever I have the opportunity, as Paul said, as much as in me is, I'm ready to share the gospel to you, the good news of Jesus Christ to you that be in Rome also. And I can't make folks hear it, but I sure love sharing it. And the reason I love to share it is like that one little writer said, and I can't remember her name, but she said, I love to tell the story of Jesus. Why? Because He's done so much for me. And that story has done so much for me. That truth has done much for me. How much has the gospel done for you? Has it brought peace in your heart? I pray that it has. Has it given you strength to know where to go when you're in trouble? Because He is that rock you can look to. When you feel like the world's so full of questions and doubts and fears, when I'm overwhelmed with doubts and fears, then you cry unto the Lord who hears us. And He's not just somewhere in the distance, way off. He's near to us. A very present help in the hour of trouble and in the time of need. Listen, that's why Gaius was a beloved person to be around. I could list you tonight a whole list of people in my life. Many of them have gone home to be with the Lord. Many of them are still here, but I could give you a whole list of them that have enriched my life. And the reason they have is not because they were something in who they were, but because the one they trusted in, the Lord made them special. All of us are by nature what? The children of wrath, even as others. But in the Lord, we go back to Peter, you're a holy nation. You are a chosen generation. That means you have life because God chose you. He generated you, made you, born you again of His Spirit. Born again, born from above. Chosen of God, born from above. We are brothers and sisters, though we did not have a blood tie that brought us together. I've got some black brethren just as close to me as white brethren. And whatever color, of all, whatever nationality, we have one kinship, one fellowship, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, all of those things that hinder us in the flesh, that fellowship we have in the Lord is a real, real fellowship. Thank God for that. Gaius, he said, under the well-beloved Gaius, he said, whom I love in the truth. He said, beloved, talking to Gaius, said, I love you. Tonight, I'm going to tell you tonight, beloved, I love you. I do love you. And I know this, if it wasn't for the Lord, we wouldn't have a love for one another. If it wasn't for the Lord, He wouldn't. If we didn't have that word, we're told and commanded because we love Him. He says, as sure as we love Him, we love those that are begotten of Him. We're to love those others of God's children that are begotten of Him. Over in 1 John, I believe it is. If I can find that verse, if not, one of you will help me with it, I'm sure. Beloved, verse 7, it says of John, 1 John chapter 4, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, and he that loveth not knoweth not God, for the love, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And then it says in chapter 5 of 1 John, he said, Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. That means we have that love for one another. And the reason we have the love is because of the birth. You didn't love to get the birth, you have the birth, and that gives you the love. You say, how can I love the Lord? Because you're born of God, and he's worked that love in you. How can I love God's children? Because he's given you that to be able to walk in. And every one of the fruit of the Spirit comes because the Spirit has come. You wouldn't have any of that. Wouldn't it be sad if there was no spiritual love in your life? Love, no spiritual joy. Peace, no spiritual peace. No spiritual long-suffering. No spiritual gentleness. No spiritual goodness. All of that's from the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. No spiritual meekness. No spiritual faith. We wouldn't. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We couldn't please God without faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. It's the gift of God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. No temperance. Our life would just be, we'd be running them. We surely wouldn't be in a little church sitting here on a Sunday night. You know, there's a lot of things going on in this world. We'd be going at it full speed. And just like flesh, we'd be going to try to get as much of life. The only thing that would hinder us in this old world is we just know death is coming. And we any way we could get, so we could avoid that or maintain our time. Listen. Death for a little child of grace, even when it comes, we can say, Oh, come welcome death, I'll gladly go with thee. That's what the hymn writer wrote. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15, Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? And that means that we can look at even death itself because of what God did in us and not be afraid. Because you see, for us, we believe and our trust and our dependence is that to be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. That means, all that means is this old body of clay, I'm done with it. You know, and of course we want to live as long as we can in this world. We have a nature about us that will long to try to live the old body. And listen, as long as God would have us in this world, we ought to be right where God put us. He didn't say live like you wanted to die. That's not what he's talking about. But it's saying don't live like you're scared to die. Just live the best you can every day the Lord gives you, the best you can. To the honor and the praise and the glory of God, realizing you're loved of God and you're loved of God's children, and then walk in that love. And as you do that, oh, that's life. That's a life abundant. That's a day in his courts. It's better than a thousand. He said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, I believe the most important thing, of course, here in this verse is that the soul prospers. You know, you can have a whole lot of things go wrong, but if your soul isn't prospering, you're in trouble as a little child of God. It's like I said before, you have all the money in the world, but if your soul isn't prospering, you're in trouble, aren't you? When your soul's prospering, it doesn't matter what you know whether you got a whole lot or a little. You just say, well, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm all right because my soul's prospering. I desire to see God's little children with their soul prospering. The preaching of the gospel helps your soul prosper. How do we know that? Because we can read it in 23rd Psalm. He restoreth my soul. Have you ever been to church and had your soul restored? You just get renewed. I get renewed. I hear again this one. How do you get that? Well, you hear the truth again. And the truth, it allows you, it sets you free, and it restores your soul. You have, and your soul prospers. My soul's prospering. I don't have a lot of money, but my soul's prospering. My health may be leaving me, but my soul's prospering. And as long as your soul's prospering, it's more important than your health. But he didn't say the health wasn't important. He said, I pray that my wish, and his wish, I believe, is a sincere spiritual desire. I don't believe it's a wish like you wish in a wishing well or that kind of wish. I believe his heart's desire and prayer to God, as Paul talked about, he wrote in the Philippian letter that we're to let our prayers and our requests be made known unto God. Here John, I believe, says it really speaking of his desire and prayer for them above all things, that they may as prosper and be in health, that they may be physically and in the world all right, enough food and raiment. Now what is prosperity? You know, God's little children's view of prosperity and the world's view of prosperity is altogether different. If you're really in the right mindset, according to the Scripture. The Scripture teaches you having what? Food and raiment. Let us be what? Therewith content. Isn't that a lesson we could learn in America? Isn't that a lesson old Gary could learn right here in Front Royal? Isn't that a lesson we all could learn if we really got what that meant? Having what? Food and raiment. Let us be therewith content. And he went on and said, for godliness with contentment is great gain. Now that's true riches. And brethren, that's a lot of peace. Now, what's important in all that is that your soul's prospering. If your soul's prospering, what that really means is you feel Jesus. You feel him with you. You feel him walking with you and talking with you and fellowship and communion with him. You feel that he's with you in your life. You know him not only to know about him, but you know him in that you're aware that he's with you. He's with you as you go through the troubles and the problems. He's with you as you go on the job and you wonder, like, I'm wondering how I'm going to get everything done. Even tonight, I'm sitting there at times wondering how am I going to get everything done, because we've got deadlines to meet, this to get done and that to get done. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord is aware of all those things much more than I am and is able to take care of them? He can bless you in your labors, or he can bring you in a chastising way in a place where you recognize I can't do it without him. And we get blessed either way, but how much better is it to walk in obedience? Well, Gaius, he said that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And that should be our prayer for God's little children. Tonight we prayed for all those that were sick. We want to see them. We want to see them do better. We want to see them do well. But any more, it is really absolutely more important that their soul is prospering. So we pray for all of that. He says, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. And you know how wonderful that is when you hear about brethren, hearing about brethren. That's really what he's talking about. He said, look, I had some brethren come and they talked about seeing you and meeting you and talking with you and being with you. And not only that, in this case, they were in need and Brother Gaius helped them. They had spiritual needs. They were on that which God had sent them to do, and he helped them along the way. He was one of those that he wrote here. I love this verse 8. He says, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be identified as a fellow helper to the truth? Not everybody in the church and not all of God's children are called to preach the gospel, but every one of us are called to be fellow helpers to the truth. And what does that mean? That means we're to help God's little children along the way as much as we can. When you see one stumbling, help them up. Don't kick them. When you see them needing a little word of encouragement, give them that word of encouragement. When you see a brother or a sister down, give them a good word from the Scripture that lets them know you've got a friend in the Lord that is always there that you can look to and lean upon, and let them know you're praying for them, and not just say you're praying for them, pray for them and pray and if they need, and don't just pray, if they need something, help them. And that's what I found among the brethren down through the years. I remember one night coming across a bridge here in Front Royal, and my car blew up, and I had an old car. I remember that old car. I'd be riding in it, and you know, I'd drive up to the bank lot, and it was burning so much oil they'd ask me what was on fire when I pulled up through the window. And I was sitting in it, and the seat was broken, and I was a big old fella like I am now, and sitting in the seat, and of course I could just barely see over the window because I was sitting almost on the floor because the seat was broken. But it was my car, and it got me where I was going. And the car broke down, and I called a brother right here in Front Royal and asked him. He said, absolutely, we can help you out. Of course, I've worked at a garage, which always helps when you have a car that breaks down. He said, I can help you out here. Take my car. You can take it on over. He said, when you're done with it, bring it on back home. I got the truck. I'm all right. You take the car on. I said, I don't want to take you. Oh, yeah, take your car. Go on with it. You see, he was a helper. And I could list almost a book of kind things done down through the years by brethren that just simply love the Lord. And because they love the Lord, they love the Lord's people. And it has enriched my life. My life would be an empty shell were it not for the blessings and the mercies of Almighty God. And much of that has come through the blessings I found among God's people. Gaiuses. And they don't all have the name Gaius. But he did say, greet the brethren by name, doesn't it? He said that. That means you have a name. Somebody said, you ought not brag on the brethren. Listen, when they've done something good in the name of the Lord, you're not bragging on the brethren. You're bragging on the Lord. Because if they did it, it's by the grace of God they did it. Otherwise, they wouldn't give you a thing. They wouldn't give you a thing. I've seen brethren do things you go like, what in the world are they doing that for? I'll tell you why, because the love of God was in their heart. And they did it not because they had to do it, not because the law required it. They did it because they realized he's done so much for me. He's been so good to me. And that is in the way God moves. You see, God doesn't do things for us in order to get something from us, because he doesn't need anything from us. He said, the world is mine and the fullness thereof. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask of you. God doesn't need us. God in his mercy has shown us mercy. And in his grace has shown us grace. Not because he needed us, but because we needed him. And brethren, you and I are to treat one another in the same way. And when we do that, you know what we do? We honor God. There's not a thing that God needs from me or you tonight, but there's a lot of God's little children who need a little help along the way. They need a cup of cold water. The Bible says, in as much as you've given one of them a cup of cold water in my name, you've done it unto me, really. You've done it unto him. As much as you give one of them that's in need just a little bit. And I'm just not talking about natural water. I'm talking about anything they stand in need of. That's what feet washing is really all about. It's about doing whatever is necessary for your brethren in humility and to help them along the way. That's really getting down at the feet of your brethren and washing one another's feet. When you understand that Jesus did so much for me, what is it that I wouldn't be willing to do for my brethren? In a way of forgiveness, in a way of love, in a way of fellowship. I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll keep a church tight. And if you were to get outside of the love of God, you and I will fall apart. True of a family too, isn't it? True of anywhere in of your life. You stay close to him, he'll keep you compact. He'll teach you what to do. And deny self, follow him. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. And may anything that we've said, I pray it's to the glory and the honor and the praise of the Lord. He's been so good to me. I know he's been good. I can see you tonight. He's been good to you too. And we have a love and a fellowship in the Lord. And I didn't get very far in those verses, but I did read the chapter anyway. God bless you is our prayer.